Well, hey, Crossroads. We want to do things a little bit differently today. So we're in this series on following Jesus and really what it looks like to go and make disciples. And we thought, what a better way to do this than to sit down with some people from different walks of life, different parts of their journey in faith, to be able to talk about what it looks like to intentionally build disciples, to go make fishers of men, disciples who build disciples. So I'm here with some friends today, and we're going to talk through what it looks like from their perspective, what some of their life experiences are, to be able to go and to make disciples. So as we begin, if you don't mind just telling us your name and a little bit about yourself, and we'll jump into how we best partner with Christ to disciple people.
I'm Phil Simpson, and I've got two kids. One's 30, one's 28, and they're, thank goodness, out on their own. So now I have opportunities to serve him more.
Sherry, how about you?
Carl and I started coming probably about 9 years ago. And we have two daughters. One is 42. She goes downtown too with her daughter. And then our other daughter is 41 and she lives in Noblesville.
My name is Micah Conrad. I've been attending Crossroads for 6 or 7 years now. I have four kids ranging between a senior in high school and a first grader. And life is exciting.
That's good. Well, in this series of following Jesus, really what we're looking at is what's it look like to become more like him or to be discipled. You know, we believe that discipling is really the process, intentional journey to know Christ, to become more like him, to put your trust in him. So for you, like everybody's kind of got their own expression of how we do that or what that looks like. So if you guys don't mind, like what is that, when you think of the word discipleship, what comes to mind? What comes to your heart?
For me, it's being Jesus with skin on. It's loving people where they are and then trying to figure out how you can help them go that next step. So it's never been a scary thing for me because you just love people. So
I was thinking that, you know, it's learning really to apply the exchange life of Christ with others, wherever that is, you know. So often, you know, you just find that opportunity wherever it is, you know, and you just happen to share a little about Jesus with that person. And you find out, you know, I love the mission here at Crossroads in that, you know, it's helping people take the next step with Jesus. And that is so easy to do.
I think discipleship to me has always just been that idea of kind of like Moses and Joshua and there being someone who is discipling that's been maybe following Jesus for a longer time and showing the person that's being discipled like what that looks like.
That's good. Yeah, that's a great transition. So for you, I mean, I'm sure you're at different spots in your journey of following Christ, but there was probably somebody along the way that made a really remarkable impact for you, somebody who was discipling you, who stepped in and helped you take some steps with Christ to come to know him better. So, you know, maybe share one of like the more memorable steps you remember of those defining moments with someone discipling you.
My sister led me to the Lord when she was in college. And she went back to college, and I didn't go, and so I was at home. But before she left, she asked a couple in her church, the Baptist church there in Greensburg, if they would mentor me.
I think shortly after I asked Jesus into my heart at, I think I was 9. My parents started going through kind of an actual book, like a discipling book, and I hated that. I'm not a homework guy, so that felt like homework. I just feel like through my life, I haven't had any like individuals that really like walked alongside me necessarily, but just seeing people that I admire and I respect and kind of following them from a short distance is kind of how I don't know if that's actually discipling, but that's kind of how I've found myself getting to the place where I'm at.
One of the things that I kind of relate to what you said, Micah, in that I always look for that person, you know, that one person, if you will, but I really never found that particular person is just formally just going to walk one point to another with me. But I know that in the Bible it talks about that Paul had Timothy, for example, and it would really have been nice to have that. And I wish that we could do more of that, if you will.
And unfortunately, I think probably most Christians in our country fall into the category you guys are in, where You just didn't really have that one person or those few people that really intentionally poured into you. And one of the things that we're working toward at Crossroads is how we set up structures to where we can really help connect a Paul with a Timothy and a Timothy with a Paul so that we can pour into people. So I know for you guys as passionate disciple makers, I mean, whether you're leading a small group or meeting people individually, you've had to work to do those things. I mean, it's not just an organic relationship, but you've had to make connections and build relationships. So talk me through, like, what are some of the challenges you've had to overcome in starting a new relationship with someone who's maybe not as far along in their faith as you can walk alongside to help grow them up and take their next step?
Specifically talking about, like, youth ministry, high school boys are high school boys. And, you know, there's a lot of joking around, and it's hard to sometimes get to really, like heart matters, because we're talking about Star Wars, or we're talking about, you know, basketball or football or whatever it is, and it's hard to get into that. And I think that that's hard even with adults, because when you're talking about things that are spiritual and that matter, it's, you know, I feel like we all have certain walls and things like that. But I think beyond that, once you get into those conversations, the most difficult part for me is that sometimes you have to have really hard conversations. And, you know, part of showing someone how to follow Jesus is teaching them how to get rid of bad habits. And sometimes having to call that out is not super comfortable.
But what I'm hearing in that is you were willing to put a lot of time in to build those relationships with those young men so that you could have those conversations. It's not just jump in on day one and have a conversation, but getting to build some relational equity, talking about Star Wars or something that they like.
If you try to have those hard conversations on day one, they'll probably quit. So
that's fair. That's good.
The people that I have tried to take down that road of following Jesus have been young moms, women of all ages, because that's who I relate to. So, and young moms, it's hard. It's hard to, you tell them, you know, you just need to read your word, and that's hard. They're busy, they're overwhelmed, and so the challenge has been to encourage them that even in those stages of their life, that they can still follow Jesus and be close to him. But the other challenge has been me, keeping myself close to Jesus, because you can't give out what you don't have.
I remember moving to a new town with my job, and I was praying to the Lord one day, and I just asked for that one. And lo and behold, the next day as I'm in the gym, this guy comes walking up to me, and he's just talking. And pretty soon we had a conversation. We got together the next day and just sat down over a cup of coffee and began to share our lives with each other. And that led to one thing, which led to another. And pretty soon we were just sharing the word with each other. And then he invited one of his cousins to come, and then it was three of us. And then after that, it was another person to join us. Pretty soon, we had a little Bible study group going. So you never know where this thing's going to lead. Discipleship is all in God's hands. And so really, we can't try and orchestrate this necessarily. We just have to be available. You know, it's just a matter of an opportunity and allow God to work through us.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that so much. I mean, that's so much what we try to do, I think, sometimes falls in that pendulum swing of, I got to make this happen. Yeah. And it's about trusting God's timing, but also about being available and ready. So when he opens the door, you're ready to walk through. Right. We don't want to miss that window as well. That's good. Well, as parents, we all know, like, there's moments where you have those bright spot with your kids. Like, hey, we talked about that, and then you lived that out, and you made that wise choice. It makes you feel like we're making progress. But we also know as parents, like, you know better than that. And I think the same thing falls into making disciples. We all have this imagery of building a disciple is, if we're charting it out, it's all up and to the right. But the reality is relationships are messy. And you may make three steps forward and, you know, be moving up to the right. And the next thing you know, circumstances shift or something happens or some catastrophe. And it feels like you go backwards. I mean, it turns more into a roller coaster than a steady incline. So when those challenges come up, and you don't have to get into specifics, but how do you respond? How do you respond when someone you were taking valuable steps with makes some poor choices, walks away, pushes you away, gives you the stiff arm? What do you do?
Well, I think that one of the things I wanted to back up just a little bit on that one, if you don't mind, Luke, and that would be, We have to look at ourselves too. Where are we with Jesus? You know, there's times when I've messed up. You know, I've been in a discipleship relationship with someone, and I've misspoken. You know, I've upset them somehow, because, you know, it's a fine line between trying to help someone grow in Christ, and at the same time, we're also learning how to do that. So, but that's about personal growth, and I think that any disciple should recognize that they're going to have those setbacks, just from a personal standpoint. But then, on the other hand, there are times when you get disappointed. You know, you've spoken the right things, you know it was from the Lord, and yet at the same time, they just walk away. And that's where you have to recognize it may not be God's time.
I actually have that going on right now, which has been hard because I love this person dearly, but for whatever reason, they're choosing not to respond to me right now. So what I've had to do is just say, God, take care of her. If I did anything wrong, show that to me, and then move on. But yeah, you can't just sit there with it, because I can get in the feels real easy, and I don't want to be there, because God's got work for me to do. So
I think it's important that they know that, even number one, you tell them that they've messed up. Right? You have to be honest. But at the same point, you need to let them know that you love them enough that once they decide to come back, you'll be there.
Right?
And I think, too, going back to the kind of Moses-Joshua thing, is I heard a long time ago from a pastor that everybody should have a Moses and everybody should have a Joshua. And I've heard the same thing with Paul and Timothy. But you should always have someone a little more further along pouring into you, and you can be further along pouring into someone else. And I think that's one of those times where that's important, because you can learn how to disciple better from the person that's discipling you as well, right? And it's go to them and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this, and get some help. I know, I mean, in youth ministry, I know that I've come to you when you were still the youth pastor and there were things going on with some of the guys, and it makes it a lot easier to carry a burden when you've got more than one person helping.
Yeah. So. And I think, I mean, we've all kind of touched on it. It's not that we give up on the person when they make some poor choices. And I think sometimes, like, that's our human nature, or that maybe even they read into that. Like, if we're discipling someone, they make some poor choices, they push away a little bit, well, that person's given up on me. So what's it look like for you, like, to, I mean, we're not in agreement with the lifestyle choice when it doesn't line up with Scripture, but at the same time, we're not severing a relationship and get away from me, I never want to speak to you again. So what's that look like when you're trying to, Sherry, you're walking through it right now, when you're trying to find that healthy relationship of how I can still leave the door open for when you're ready to come back? I mean, it's the story of the prodigal son, right? It's the, I'm still walking out every day looking for my son to return, and not acknowledging or not going along with the choices he's making, but, you know, the door is still open for you to come back to the family. So what's that look like for you to practically put it together?
I think it's just like Micah said, you have to let them know they're loved. And if they know they're loved, then you can let them go. And I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I wish I did, because it's hard.
But that's what you're saying. Like, you're still contacting them. You're still reaching out.
I am still reaching. Hey, you know, I'm here. And that's
it's not a shame-based conversation. It's just want you to know I'm still here.
Nope, I'm still here.
I think it's important that you can't just let them know that you love them when they screw up either. Like, that's part of that relationship building, is that, like, you've got months and years of pouring in that lets them know, like, I do love you and I am here for you. And so that when they screw up, it's not just a, you know, hey, I love you, when you're ready, come back. It's they know that already inherently because of the relationship.
Right.
And I think it's important that, you know, that's why this is such a big deal, because you're spending all this time pouring in. And I think you said it's, you know, you have to have that in you to pour it out, right?
Right.
It kind of all goes back to that, too.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus never gave up on me. And so, I, you know, even though somebody may walk away for a while, I'm always believing that we'll have another time at it. We'll have another time when we can get together and begin to mend those times. You know, that it's so often, you know, that there's a season, you know, where, you know, people have to learn or to change or even just get a handle on what's been said. And then you can come back together and begin to mend that.
So one of the things that I think the devil uses as a seed to get us off course when it comes to making disciples is just those feelings of not being intelligent enough, not knowing enough about Scripture, not being adequate enough, not being a believer long enough. So what do you do when you find like those thoughts of like, hey, who are you to be able to disciple someone? Or you don't have experience there, or you don't have what it takes, or you don't have a degree? Or what do you do when you feel those thoughts of uncertainty or inadequacy pop up, knowing this is what God's called us to do? So you've got the tension there, but also our flesh would try to talk us out of doing exactly what Jesus wants us to do. So how do you wrestle through those tensions?
I mean, Jesus took fishermen, right? And wasn't it in Acts where the Pharisees were talking about how after Peter was talking, they're like, they knew that this guy hadn't studied the law, but yet he was speaking as though he had. So I think we can look back and just see, like, Jesus didn't use the people that were, I mean, he didn't use the people that were the most prepared for it, right? It wasn't like, if he didn't come back and say, give me the best Pharisees and like, let's use them and let's do this thing. It was, let's, you know, he took people that were willing and he prepared them. And I guess that's kind of where I'm at is, one, like, Jesus knows where he's putting me. And I feel that so far he hasn't let me down with equipping me for whatever I needed in a moment. But also, going back to it is like knowing that I have people that I can fall back on. And when I don't feel equipped, I think it's always okay if somebody asks you a question and you don't know the answer to say, hey, I don't know, let me get back to you. And relying on others that are a little further along than I am because I don't know all the answers.
I always feel inadequate about, oh God, what are you going to do with me? And how are you, you know? But we had dinner upstairs at North Campus, and we went to sit by some people that I didn't know. And even though I'm comfortable around people, I just was nervous because I didn't know this person. And so I sit down, and I'm like, in my brain, God, what am I going to say? What do I say? What do I do? The only thing he said to me was, tell your story. And I'm like, oh, well, that's easy. I could do that. So after we made introductions and we talked a little bit, and I said, hey, would you like to know my story? Because she had said, I don't know about this God. And I said, can I tell you my story? And long story short, her and I are now in a mentoring relationship, and she accepted Christ, was baptized, but I did not feel I had it in me. Yeah. I didn't know what to say. Everyone has a story. So Jesus just said, tell it, Sherry. You know, so
that's good.
That's
beautiful. That's great. Yeah.
I think also that, you know, when we have those times when we feel inadequate, we have to recognize, who are we identified in? Right. It's not our identity, it's Christ. And Jesus will give us what we need when we need it.
I don't know what, like, when you first realized you would become disciple makers was like for you. I mean, for some people, I know there's those holy moments of, we had a God-ordained appointment, we sat down, I poured into him, mentored into him. At least for me, and I know for a lot of people, you kind of look back and like, hey, I've been meeting with this guy for a long time. You know, I actually feel like God's been using me to kind of point to him. Or maybe it's the confirmation that they come to you with, hey, I really appreciate the example you've said and the words of encouragement you've given and the scripture you've poured into me. Wherever we are right now, I'm sure you're a whole lot better at discipling people than you were when you started. So what would be some good advice to give to someone who's like, hey, I'm just starting to feel like God's prompting me to disciple someone and just start pouring into someone else? What would be some advice like, I wish I would have known this when I started, or I wish I would have thought about this when I started, or I wish I'd have been more in tune to Holy Spirit telling me this back when I first started in this?
I think, like Sherry said, like be ready to share your story. And I think there's a certain level of opening up that's scary. Like that level of intimacy with someone that you don't necessarily know yet like that is a little scary. But I think without that, it doesn't work. Like, if you're expecting them to share with you the things that are going on in their life so that you can walk alongside them with that, like, they need to know that. And there's a balance to that, too, where you don't want to put your burdens on somebody that you're trying to disciple. But at the same point, like, let them know, like, you're not on a pedestal, right? Mm-hmm. And you're just there trying to do the same thing they are. You're just a little bit further ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's really genuine to say, like, it's okay to share in some of the things that you've battled with. You know, we used to say in student ministry, if I'm discipling someone, I talk a lot more about my scars than my open wounds because I don't want to dump on the person I'm discipling. But at the same time, like, you're a real person. I mean, you guys have jobs outside. Your discipleship is not your primary source of income, but you've got other things that God's called you to. So it's you know, hey, this is the life I've lived, and God's called me to do this. But also, I'm a follower of Christ, which means by default, I'm a disciple maker. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just being authentic, I think, is huge.
Yeah. And you don't have to have, if I had known this earlier, I don't have to have all the answers. And I thought I did, that I couldn't really help someone else unless I knew all the answers. So what I'll do is if they ask a question and I don't know, well, let's figure it out together. Let's do this together, you know, so... it takes the fear out of it because, one, I don't have to know all the answers, and two, I can just be who I am, and I share my life and my faults and the things that we only have to be, and you said it, Micah, just a little bit further ahead of someone else that we're trying to help. We don't have to know everything, right, Phil?
To be honest with you, sometimes I think I'm behind. And the reason I say that is I think, you know, discipleship is twofold. It's our own personal growth as well as the person that mm-hmm. we're in a discipleship mm-hmm. with. And so often I'll be in a conversation and I realize that the Lord's asking me a question through that person. You know, what do you think about this? Why are, you know, what about this story or what have you? And I begin to realize that God is also challenging me in my faith. He's trying to help me grow. And the only way we can grow is by understanding that we have that responsibility to listen to Him in that conversation. It doesn't have to be difficult. As a matter of fact, we have the attitude that the Lord is trying to teach us at the same time He's trying to teach the other person. Yes. We're in this together. You know, that other person that we're discipling, or they're actually in tandem working with God, that's now a synergistic approach because God's in control of the whole situation.
So we all know, like, one of the things that is really fun about making disciples and following Jesus' lead is when things are going well. But if you have experienced any sort of life, whether it's family, whether it's career, whether it's just busyness of what's going on, whether it's just circumstances of life, when it starts to get draining, like, one of the things that we easily pull back from is the things that Jesus has asked us to do because we've got other priorities to accomplish. So if you could just look back and maybe prepare an encouraging statement for the future you, because I would assume between the people listening right now, each one of them can relate to you on some level. So if you could speak into that person to say, hey, when you feel distracted, when you feel discouraged, when you feel like this has become too overwhelming, what are those words like that would help to push you through of, I think you can do this and you continue to follow Christ and He's going to lead you in the things you need? What would you give to that person?
I would say it is not our responsibility to help people grow. It's not our responsibility for them to get saved. It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We are His vessels, and when the vessels are tired and defeated or just, I've had to just back up and say, okay, God, You've got this. It's not me. I'm working real hard to make all this happen, and I don't have to make it happen.
I think that's great. And with that, like, knowing that it's not my responsibility to save them or to make sure they get to that place, but our goal is just to give them what Jesus has said, right? And then it's their responsibility to follow. Mm-hmm. But with that, like, I can look back, even in my own, like, personal life, like, when I'm feeling down and I feel like nothing's going right, I can stop and I can look back at all the times that Jesus did take care of it. And even in those relationships, even it, maybe not the relationship you're in, but you can look at another one, maybe with a past mentorship or something, and say, like, yeah, things don't look great right now, but I remember when, and Jesus showed up, mm-hmm. and everything worked out. Because ultimately, he is the one that's going to take control of it and take care of us and all of that. And he's shown it over and over and over again. And it's looking back can just give you that comfort and that peace to know that he's going to do it again.
When Jesus gives, we sow so we can grow.
I mean, I think that's worth expanding on, too. I mean, there's a part of that of when I'm passionately pursuing trying to help someone take steps, like there's a byproduct of that to where we grow in our own faith. So what's that look like for you as far as like steps you've taken in your faith while you're intentionally pouring into someone else?
Prayer. Deep prayer. I never realized the depth and the breadth of needing to pray for those situations where we can't control it. I'm a person that likes to be in control, and you know, I think my friends would tell you that. You know, I've struggled with wanting to control things. And there's so often where we have a friend, an associate, a person we're discipling, and all we can do is pray, especially in their suffering. So it's so important that we spend time in prayer because God does a lot of things just through our prayers.
Five or six years ago, I was in a place where I was just overwhelmed, felt just dried up inside, and I was like, Lord, what is going to help me here? What do I need to do? And a friend, dear friend, was talking about her small group and how they were just, she just loved that small group. And I said, that's what I need. I need some other women like me who can encourage me, who can build me up. And so I am in a group of 8 women from all different churches. They're not all just Crossroads. And we do Bible study together, deep studies. And we encourage one another, and I just think that is very important. You need those other people who are like-minded that when you are discouraged, they can say, hey, we're going to pray. We are going to pray, and you're not going to be in this place. We're not going to let you be. So I think small groups.
I think sometimes my brain works in a very particular way, and a lot of the, especially with like youth, because I've got right now 8, depending on the week, 8 to 10 guys that are in there, and just a vast array of different mentalities and whatever, and so sometimes the way that they ask questions kind of challenges the way that I've thought about something before and gives me a new perspective. In how I'm trying to answer that, but also like just, wow, I've never really thought about it that way. And maybe leads me down a path of discovery that like, hey, I never realized there's some, it's kind of crazy because you think, you know, I'm 41 and like these 16, 17, 18 year old boys are teaching me something because like, I just don't think that way. I'm very logical. And sometimes the way that they ask a question, it's just, wow. Thanks for showing me that, God. Like, you know, I didn't expect that tonight. Yeah.
That's great. So back to where we started. We're helping people to take steps with Christ. And as disciple makers, like that's our goal, is where we're coming alongside. We're depending on the Holy Spirit, like we talked about. If he does the growth, he takes care of everything. But we have the availability, we have the responsibility to just step in the gap. So what's that look like for someone who's here today and they're thinking, you know what? Maybe this isn't like that Hollywood movie scene where it's a big, beautiful romance. Maybe it's more about those little practical steps that we can take. So if you're talking to the old you, if you're talking to someone who's thinking about, hey, I can do this, what's a baby step that they can take to start pouring into someone else to disciple them?
Oftentimes, God will put somebody on your heart, too. Mm-hmm. It might be as simple as somebody needs something. You know, they've got an issue with a family member, or you know, just a hurt or something that they've gone through in their life. And you can come alongside them and begin to sit in the mud with them, so to speak, and begin to share their sorrows or their pain, and begin to recognize that there's that opportunity to begin to share the word with them.
CR is a great place, and we all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups, right, Phil? And that has been a wonderful place for me, just to share, not only to not only help someone else, but to share my own. And so put yourself into situations that are uncomfortable, maybe.
I think there can be a certain level of intentionality to it, too. I mean, for anybody that's interested in, you know, dealing with kids, I mean, we have from birth through, I mean, young adults now at Crossroads, that I think you can be very intentional in that way and saying to the staff, like, hey, I want to get plugged in. I feel like God is leading me to a place where I should be discipling. Where can I get plugged in? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think you would tell anybody, like, hey, we've got 1,000 things you can do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great way to, you know, even a small step to get started. That way you're not doing it on your own, but even right. jumping into a ministry, a Celebrate Recovery, a kids ministry, student ministry, mm-hmm. prayer ministry, where you can jump in, come alongside someone, and even especially in the ministries where you get some training involved from some of the ministry leaders mm-hmm. to where you're not just expected to figure this out on your own. But right. what a great way to get started. Well, guys, thank you so much for taking the time. Hopefully this was helpful both to you and to everybody who was able to hear this today. I think one of the practical sides of being able to build disciples is it's not this big Hollywood glamorous movie where everything just falls into place. It's just simple steps of being obedient to the Holy Spirit, following Jesus' lead to go and make disciples. And that's what you guys are doing. So thank you for doing that for the church and for the kingdom.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.